Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, greedy baby sticky seeds with 50 as a pop or kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies.
This is Doug Loves Movies!
Coming to you from the UCB Theater in L.A. on Tuesday, September 2, 2014, Wolf of Wall Street, Fight, Terminator 2, Judgment Day of the Dead Men, Walking Tall, The President's Men, and Blackfisher King, Ralph, Dog Day Afternoon, Delight, Sleep, Perfect Murder, My Death Wish, Three Amigos, Ghosts, World's End of Watch, Men Don't, Leaving Las Vegas, Food, La Jingle, All the Wades, World's Fastest, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Dooms, Days of Thunder, Bolt, and Lightfoot. Yeah. Thank you, Seattle. I had a bumper blast at Bumper Shoot, as always. And that episode that we did there is available for people to listen to now, featuring the return of Werner Herzog. And I'll try to schedule another Doug Loves Movies in the Seattle area soon. Vegas, Saturday, 4:20. Doug Loves Movies comes to the Plaza Theater in the Plaza Hotel downtown. Hope to see you guys there. Let's look in the prize bag. We got the usual suspects. We got a Doug Loves Movies t-shirt. We got a Gateway Doug 2 Forced Fun CD. We've got, what are the odd things that are in here? This is a fancy lighter that someone made for me on the road that they gave me, and I should give them more credit than that, but I like it. A couple of Pops hot dogs, of course. Gotta have some Pops. And then, this is neat. This is really neat. A Roku streaming stick. Yeah, Roku. I talk about it all the time. It's one of the things that you can use to access Hulu Plus stuff. And there it is. And I'll talk about the rest of this stuff when we get these guests out here. There's four chairs, but one guest I'm pretty sure is not going to be here at all. Because that guest just texted me that they thought the show was at 7:30, and that's when they would get here. And I wrote back, "Don't bother," because we have to start the Leonard Maltin game before 7:30, and then if he just walks in the middle of the Leonard Maltin game, then what's he gonna do? Then it's just a guy sitting around watching us play Leonard Maltin. I hope you all agree with my decision. And I hope to have him on soon, but maybe he'll just show up anyway. I don't know what the fuck's going to happen. But please give a big warm welcome to the three folks that are here. Let's hear it for Lorenza Iso, Eli Roth, and Kumail Nanjiani. Shema might as well sit one over there. Leave this one open since it's got all my shit here. Just sit anywhere you want. Just take those ones down there. There you go.
I'm here.
This was really worked out weirdly because I was telling Kumail not to sit here where you are now, Eli, because all my stuff is here in front of you. But, you know, the fourth guest that might not, will probably not show up now that I said don't bother. Let me look at my phone again, see what he's doing.
This is a scintillating podcast.
Let's hear it for...
talking about specific seating. And then check.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, you guys talked about the seating when you came out here. I didn't bring it up. Let's welcome Kumail Nanjiani, everybody, to the show.
Hello. Hello.
You won a few weeks ago, but then couldn't come back the next week.
I'm sorry.
So I've been waiting for the opportunity to get you in here, and now here we are. And Silicon Valley, when's it come back?
April. I mean, we haven't even started shooting.
When does that happen?
Next month.
A date? Oh,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. We start shooting next month. They've been writing it. Big surprises are in store.
Oh, really? Does it strangely start killing people off or something?
Well, it's weird that you say that because one of the actors did pass away. So,
way to go, Doug.
Yeah. What the fuck, dude? I guess we did kill him off. Weirdly, you did hit upon a very major plot point.
That has already happened. I was talking about the next season, whimsically. Because you're not going to kill anybody off on purpose.
I know, I'm just being a dick. Because we win the contest at the end of the first one, so the fallout from that is like pretty big. It's very different. The next season is very different from the first season, and I'm excited. And then your
episode... still hilarious with all of you guys on it.
Yeah. It'll be very funny.
Yeah,
it's
very good. A lot of Doug Loves Movies regulars on there. I got the text back from the gentleman who... should I say who it is?
Yeah.
Yes.
it's... I want to say a joke answer, but I'm just going to tell you. It's Neil Brennan was going to come by. Yeah, the great Neil Brennan, who, it turns out... And by the way, Eli Roth is here, you guys.
Thank you. Hi, everybody.
Back after an awesome first appearance on the show. And you told me that you and Neil were roommates at one time.
I was. When I moved to the fair city of Los Angeles, he had a roommate named Dave Chappelle who moved out. So he moved into Dave's room. It was like a two-bedroom place on La Brea. And I moved in, and there were just, like, giant shoes everywhere. To me, they look like clown shoes, but those were Chappelle's shoes.
Which he has big shoes to fill.
Literally, thank you. Big shoes to fill. So Neil was my roommate, and then he sold a movie called Half-Baked and said, bye, I'm buying an apartment in Manhattan. And then, no, he sold a pitch to MTV and was like, okay, I have money now, I'm leaving. And then his brother Danny moved in. And that's the most exciting Neil Brennan story I have, everybody. Isn't it great? Don't you love it? But this would have been like a 1409 North Alta Vista reunion right here on Doug Loves Movies. But we'll just, you know, go out and light a candle there and leave our trash and old furniture on the street as we used to do.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you win the letter ball game today, maybe you come back next week, because that's what it sounds like he's committing to next week, and will probably start his commute across town earlier time. Because when I said, don't bother coming tonight, he wrote back, understood, and very sorry. I had a gift and everything.
Aww.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like, people think they really went above and beyond by doing the one thing that I ask you to do is bring any piece of shit item from anywhere and put it in the bag. He deserves praise for having one.
He did everything except show up.
Yes.
Arguably.
The most important.
I would say so.
Lorenza Izzo. Is it Izzo?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah,
Lorenza Izzo is here. Star of a movie that I just saw up at the Portland Film Festival called Sex Ed, and it's a very entertaining comedy with Haley Joel Osment as a young man struggling in the world. He just wants to teach children sex ed and lose his virginity.
Weirdly, that's a weird concept.
I know, right?
It's like, I want to teach them how to fuck, and also I want to fuck.
Yeah.
This could end very poorly.
No, he's like one of them in some way.
Yeah, hopefully you don't want to hit both those goals on the same day.
Yeah.
It's a very sweet virgin teaching virgins about losing their virginity.
Yeah. And then you come along, then you come along all hot and fancy, and he gets excited, and he throws his hat in the ring. He goes for it. He's like a virgin in his 20s, and she's the first. She's the one that he thinks is gonna help him to make it happen.
Yeah, that's like, I've never touched a bat, but I'm gonna play for the Yankees. Well, what happens? Does he touch your bat? Wait, that analogy falls apart.
Yeah, no.
No spoilers. No spoilers.
Are you a teacher in the school?
No.
You're just.
I'm a DJ.
You're a DJ?
Yeah.
She plays a DJ in the film, whose younger brother is a student in the school and is a big fan of the teacher because he's so good with the kids and teaches them all the sex things they want to know about. It's a really dirty movie with children in it. It's kind of amazing.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
You have it's like I saw it, and I didn't know anything about it other than Larenta had a makeout scene with Haley Joel Osment, which I wanted to see. And then there were 12-year-old
There's only
kids.
Two people who want to see that, you and Haley Joel Osment.
That's true. We're a good audience for
and
it.
And dead people.
Dead people. And
I have to say it was really
I see hot people.
And there were scenes of 12-year-old kids talking about anal. It was very funny. They were great.
There's a scene where kids go through the room pulling questions out of a hat, and the questions are all like, "What's a blumpkin?" and Haley Joel Osment is just like, "That's inappropriate. Next question." And he gets flustered. But to be clear,
blumpkin is when you're pooping and getting a blowjob, right? Is that what a plumpkin
is? I only ask because really I truly want to know.
What's a strawberry short cheesecake?
What's a strawberry short cheesecake?
strawberry cheesecake? No, strawberry milkshake.
That, yeah.
When you come on a girl's face and punch her in the nose and the blood runs out? Why do you ask?
I like how you say when you. You know how when you
on
do
the
that?
Occasion when.
Yeah. You know that really normal
you
thing.
You come on her face and then punch her.
It's a very... It's a very sweet film.
Let me help you get that cum off your face. Punch.
No, it has very sweet moments. There's a part when a 13-year-old girl, or way younger, she gets her period, and Haley teaches her how to put on a tampon. I thought it was very sweet.
It is super, super sweet.
It won best. You guys won best film at the.
We actually got best narrative feature at the film.
Oh wow!
So.
How do we see this movie?
It's going to be out on November 7th in 10 select cities and also VOD.
I bet this is one of them, right? It's going to be out.
Got to be LA,
yes,
right?
Yes, it will be out. I hope so.
Probably be over at the Sundance or maybe the ArcLight. But you guys were going to initially come on here. I was excited to have you because you have a motion picture. You even brought some posters
We had a poster
that is now defunct, I guess. You would have been able to see Larenta in The Green Inferno next week. As you can see, we crossed out the release date, September 5th.
Oh, that's you. I've seen that poster. It's awesome. I didn't realize it was you.
That is Larenta screaming, the release got entirely, completely fucked up for reasons that have nothing to do with the movie. It was a disagreement with the distributor and the financier who agreed to split advertising money, and there were problems, and now we're all figuring out sort of where the movie's going to go and what's going to happen.
I was excited about it. I have a friend who's a critic, Devin Farachi.
Yes,
you know?
Of course.
He was telling me that it's really awesome.
Yeah, Devin liked it. No, it's fun. I mean, the movie's really, really fucked up and very sick, and we shot it in the Amazon.
You made a fucked up movie.
I know, it's weird. We filmed in a village.
It's very different.
We filmed in a village with children, speaking of corrupting children. They had never seen a motion picture before. We were in the Amazon, and they didn't know what movies were or ice cubes, and so the producers went,
those are the two things.
Wow,
they
if only
know.
You'd been shooting a movie with Ice Cube, you could have really educated them.
If we had that dare to dream.
So when, they did
baby steps.
They didn't know anything, and you guys were like, hey.
They were like, we're going to do this thing where you pretend to be other people. It's called There's a Television, and let me just show you an example. And the producers, they're like, they called me. They were so excited. They're like, we went to the village and we showed them a movie. And they said, yes, we can film it. I'm like, great. What'd you show them? Wizard of Oz, E.T.? And they said, Cannibal Holocaust. And I was like, are you serious? And they're like, no. Here's the good news. They thought it was a comedy. So there are 4-year-old children in Kayaniyaku, Peru, who, if you ask them, what is a movie? They're like, oh, that's where you paint yourself red and you chop up someone's dick and eat it.
And then the movie you made with them probably also has some gruesome stuff in it.
There was a lot of gruesome stuff. But they got everybody got into it. The kids, everybody wanted to pluck the eyeballs and play with the decap. The first time we were shooting, we K&B Effects, who did all the gore in my films, done all the Tarantino's movies and Walking Dead, we set up the village to be like Colonel Kurtz's village with like heads on spikes. And you can see a trailer with Lorenza. There are these American activists that go to save the Amazon and their plane crashes. And the people they save are like, fuck you, and dart them and start eating them. So that we're shooting the scene where the kids are brought to the village and they're all tied up in boats on canoes and we're in the Amazon and I'm feeling like John Huston and like Werner Herzog, like, yes, I got my machete and we're like going to yell action. And we have heads and heads on spikes and dead bodies and 100 villagers coming over the hill to grab, you know, the Americans. And just as we're about to start shooting, I hear this music playing. And they're singing songs about Jesus, and it was two boats full of Christian missionaries.
With giant speakers in the middle of fucking nowhere.
What fucking assholes?
They were from Texas, and they pulled up, and they see the heads on the spikes, and Lorenzo yes. tied up, and the natives with the head, and they were like, the devil is here, the devil is here. And they're like, no, it's not the devil, it's, you know, Jesus.
It's Eli Roth.
Yeah, which was even worse.
It was way worse. They were so pissed off.
Way worse. So we had to, so the villagers had to go and tell the Christian missionaries to go and fuck off and come back in a few weeks.
You so, know. Wait, Christian missionaries are just driving on boats
with playing, speakers.
With Christian music playing, and they yes. think that's what's gonna, like, these people are hanging out like, oh, we should probably listen to what those assholes have to say.
Well, pretty much, yeah.
Wow. So the people you were kind of making fun of actually showed up while you were filming.
It gave us a great idea for the sequel. I mean, we were just like, exactly, like, we could have chopped them up. It was unbelievable. We thought about it.
No, Peru was a crazy place. We could have chopped a lot of things up.
No one would have known, yeah.
We kind of did get chopped.
It's like the Purge all the time down there.
It was insane.
I mean, yeah, it's like the Purge. Wise.
Yeah, it's like the Purge without houses.
Or clothes.
And walls and gates and clothes.
Well, no. Okay, so this village, is it like?
The village, you go to the village. I was scouting on location, and they said, this is where Werner Herzog filmed A Gear of the Wrath of God. And I said, okay, I want to go farther, just to be like, I went farther than Herzog.
Ego.
So we're going up, and the guy says, we have to turn around because it's absolute jungle, and we're going to just run out of gas and really get stuck. So we turn around, and I see this grass, like a grass hut. And I said, what is that? And they said, that's a village. And I pull up, and there's a little girl washing clothes, and I'm like the first white or whitest dude she's ever seen. And we pull up, and the Peruvian producers were with Get Out and talk to them. And some woman comes out. They live in straw huts and sleep in hammocks.
So you're literally just going up to random
villages.
I
went up the river, and we walked in, and I was like, this looks perfect. We don't have to do much set dressing. I said, can we shoot here? And that's when they said we'd have to conceptually explain what a movie is. And they voted. The whole village had to vote on whether or not we should do it. And the way we were going to pay them was give them a boat and then give them roofs for the houses. And it was amazing. Like, our production designer from Santiago, Chile, went there, and the art director, they lived in the village for like 3 weeks getting it ready. And right before they were going to leave, like when it was ready for the crew to come in and film, the village was like, we have a gift for you. And she's like, what? And they brought out a baby. And she's like, wait, what is this? And they're like, here, have a baby. And she's like,
what the fuck are we going to do with a Peruvian baby?
And she was like, and she's like, you know, I live in Santiago with my boyfriend. Like, I can't just take a baby. And we had to reject the baby without.
Was the mom really sad?
No, the mom was like, yeah, they were sad that she didn't get to give away the baby. That was like, yeah, that was the whole thing. So we were worried that we were going to offend them by not. So at the end of this, we're shooting. We're like, are we going to have to take a baby at the end of this? Like, you know, who's going to rock, paper, scissors for the baby?
Not it.
Not it. And then. But there was also a thing.
Wait, that's like their standard gift?
Yeah.
It's like, here's a great housewarming. Here's the baby to go with it.
Yeah. No, it was. Lorenzo,
was
remember,
it a cute baby?
There.
Or was it like a shitty
they
baby?
They also had mini. No.
There were some shitty babies there, to be fair, but it was a cute baby. But
they had mini pigs. Like little mini pigs all over.
They had mini pigs?
Yeah, or maybe they were babies. Adorable.
They were baby pigs.
I know, but they were cute.
So you were okay. You wanted the mini pig, not the mini human.
No, they offered a baby. I wanted a mini pig.
Yeah, she's getting picky. She's like, well, can I have the mini pig? But they're like,
this sounds like a good discussion for the X-Files files.
Yeah, nice
Kumail's,
segue, bro.
Kumail's show. Yeah. No, I just wanted to get into, I still got to talk about all this stuff that you guys brought for the prize bag.
Oh.
Eli brought a copy of Aftershock, which is that where the two of you met? on this movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Put it together. Yeah. Figured it out. And then you also brought
the
score for Cabin Fever and the score for The Man with the Iron Fist, and then the Blu-ray plus DVD of The Last Exorcism. So all of that is in the bag.
Well, the aftershock can go in the Lorenza bag to divvy it up with the poster.
That's from her.
Yes.
Okay.
Were you involved with The Last Exorcism?
I was. I was the producer on
it. That's a great movie.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
It is. I got to say.
There's a scene in that movie. It's a great workout tape.
Yes.
Right? That thing? Yeah, yeah.
Yoga.
It's a good stretch. It's a really good stretch.
She had to have surgery after that scene.
Didn't she break her back?
Yeah, it was bad. Yeah.
And then she was in the sequel too, right?
Yeah. We had to take it easy in the back bending. Yeah.
Oh, God.
It was bad.
Broken back.
Kumail brought three every week at the the comic book store Meltdown on Sunset. There's they do a stand-up show with Jonah Ray and Kumail, and then it became a series for Comedy Central. But they always make a really great... Who are the artists that do these? They make these great posters for each episode.
Dave Clock is the artist, and he does every episode.
He does them all.
Yeah, he
How
does
How many
them
now? Like,
I mean...
A few hundred, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of them. We've been doing it 4 years, so we have a couple hundred posters.
So somebody tonight gets some of these posters, and then the TV series Meltdown with Jonah and Kumail is on... every Wednesday night at 12:30 a.m., so Thursday morning on Comedy Central. And tomorrow night's episode is the one that I did.
It's you and Jim Gaffigan and Rob Hubel, Paul Scheer.
Rory Scovel. It's all Douglas Movies guests. Well, Eric Andre's been on Getting Doug with High.
Yeah.
He hasn't been on this show because I need my guests to sit still.
And not get naked.
Keep their clothes on.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody's ever taken their dick out on this show, and I'm kind of proud of it. It's pretty awesome.
That could all change
That's
tonight.
You, buddy.
This is it.
You never know.
Tonight,
that's an invitation.
You.
Let's talk about movies.
I just said the worst phrase I've ever said in my entire life. One for Ninja Turtles. I went last week on my own and saw Ninja Turtles at a tiny town in Oregon on my own, and it was me and two kids who were talking the entire time. And I couldn't shush him. I can't be a grown man in my 30s shushing the demo for the movie. Like,
that
hey, 14-year-olds, shut up. I'm trying to really take in this movie.
You saw it too, right?
I saw it in... Thank you for outing me. As having seen... I saw it in Chile, where it was under the title Tortuga Ninja.
I didn't see it.
So I felt like it was a little more artsy. I was like, I didn't see Ninja Turtles. I saw Tortuga Ninja.
Does it still have Megan Fox as a news reporter?
It did, but it had the thing where the brightness was so dark that I had to take off the 3D glasses to see it at the proper f-stop level. So I feel like I watched it drunk.
Oh, you saw like doubles. What did you think of it?
I enjoyed it.
I did too. It's
really
not
did.
Bad.
No.
It's not bad. Not bad.
No, it was.
So you are the demographic for that movie.
Turns out, not those
Statler and Waldorf kids that were talking the whole time.
Talking. What was cool was in the beginning they were doing loud bits making fun of the movie. Then about a half an hour in, they really got into it. They locked in.
So they were just discussing how great it is.
Yeah, and they were just gasping and stuff after that.
It is one of those movies. I don't want to spoil it because there's Ninja Turtles in it. That's one spoiler. But it is one of the movies where they really just decided to completely forgo the plot. And there's just a bad guy who's just going to do something so completely insane. And they just have a moment where they're like, why are you doing that? He's like, to get rich. But he's also already the richest,
he's
most powerful
richest
billionaire
person.
In New York City. And they're like, but you're already a billionaire. He's like, I want to get richer. Keep going with the movie. Action, Ninja Turtles, look. Ah. And you're just one of these things where you're like, oh, yeah, there's no point
there's
to
no plot.
Any of this.
Also,
there's a lot of those like that.
Do you ever see Hard Bodies? Hard Bodies is a masterpiece. Like, Hard Bodies is one of the... Does something
they're
very...
like Skin Flick?
Yeah, the Skin Flick, the Skinamax movie. Of
yeah,
Scotty Palmer.
I think I saw that.
They do something quite brilliant in that movie where the three, you know, Scotty Palmer, who has to teach the old guys how to pick up girls, they do something structurally bold and brilliant. Really, not since Wes Anderson reinvented the five-act structure with Rushmore do they do this, where in the final scene of
There's
the movie...
There's so much information.
In the final scene, no, it's just
in like...
In
one sentence,
in
he
the
condenses
last
everything.
Scene of the movie, the girl who you didn't know, like the love interest, goes, you know, I think maybe next year... I'm going to go to college locally so we can be together. And it's like there's been no indication whatsoever that she was ever going to go to college or that she was going to go. But they actually set up, and he's like, yay! And then they run into the sunset. They set up the main conflict of the movie and resolve it in two sentences and then cut to the credits. It's brilliant. It's such a bold structural reinvention of conventional modern cinema that I'm surprised that the only movie that I saw that really did it that brave was Michael Bay in the Ninja Turtles movie. They just sort of, in the last minute, give you the plot and the resolution, then the movie continues.
All right. So are you saying we should just sneak in when there's only a minute left, or?
No, see the whole movie.
The whole thing is just fun.
It's about the journey.
Did you guys like the new Godzilla?
Yes.
Okay, since now we're building a case against your opinions in general.
Okay, I will say I would watch Ninja Turtles again before I would watch the new Godzilla again.
Okay.
Because it's got fucking Ninja Turtles in it. I realized I love Ninja Turtles so much that's going to carry a movie for me. His entire plot to explain to you what Shredder's big plan is. It's not Shredder. It's William Fichtner's big plan is he's going to release this poison gas, and he's got like a Trump Tower thing, and it's already got a gas-releasing spire on it. And he doesn't have the gas yet, but for years he's like, someday I'm going to get the fucking gas and put this thing to use.
Be ready to go, yeah.
So his whole plan,
like,
he's going to release this.
Tesla with his Wardenclyffe Tower.
Yeah,
no
exactly.
Electricity.
His plan is he's going to release this pink poison gas and then come in as a savior and have the medicine for people. Except you're going to be like, clearly it was you that released it. We saw the fucking gas coming out of your spire. So there's a lot of holes, but it is pretty brilliant.
But Megan Fox is great in it.
Why
so
is it?
Care.
This is what I don't like about it. Why is it Megan Fox's movie? It's her story. The Ninja Turtles are like sort of side characters.
Yeah, I heard there's like a 20-minute stretch where you don't see the turtles.
The first 20 minutes, there's no turtles in it. It's just Megan Fox reporting the news. And the whole plot point is that she's reporting shitty news. So the first 20 minutes is just her reporting boring news.
Wow.
And then the Ninja Turtles show
and
up.
And you loved it.
I didn't say
so
I loved it.
So skip the first 20 minutes then.
I just don't know
what you're trying to tell us.
Go see the movie.
Just see it.
The Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Two thumbs up.
All right.
I was shocked at how much I liked it.
Lorenza, have you been to the movies lately?
Yeah, I went to a Capitan and I saw Frozen sing along with my 3-year-old niece. And
does
family.
Everybody sing along?
Oh my God, I was covered in.
Let it go!
I was covered in spit and tears and like in a lot of fluids. It was amazing though. I cried the whole time. They showed this like short before called.
Eli
Beast.
Sat that one out, I guess.
He went and he cried.
Oh no.
I wasn't crying. My allergies. I don't know if you guys
he was falling. That. It's so emotional.
Yeah, my whenever allergies. I see Frozen, my allergies act
up.
My
no.
allergies.
No, no, no.
You
the
know,
movie...
They spray this fake snow and I was like, wow, it's really my allergies.
It goes right into your eyes.
It's
yeah.
a princess. It's a woman going for her, I mean, a girl going for herself. It's a really good movie. Like, it really, you know, it transcends
yeah,
Disney.
It definitely spoke to people. And Disney did a great job when it first came out of hiding the fact that it was about princesses. They mostly showed the snowman.
Have
so
you seen
all
this
the little
movie?
Boys wanted to see it. Frozen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
My favorite part was when...
yeah, it's great for children.
And children at heart.
Of all ages.
I mean, we're talking about Ninja Turtles and Godzilla, so I think it goes pretty well in
no,
the...
No, of those three, I will watch Frozen a million times before I'll watch Godzilla a second time. But I'll see Ninja Turtles. Now you guys got me hooked in.
Really?
My favorite part...
yeah, they talked me into it.
My favorite part of Frozen was when my 3-year-old niece looked at the movie screen. It was her first time in theater, and she goes, look, a giant computer.
Whoa.
And the kids were...
She thought it was a big iPad?
It was a giant iPad. To that room,
by the way, it was her first time going to like a movie.
She was trying to move to the next scene, like fucking Tom Cruise in Minority Report.
Yeah. I know. Wow, look, a giant computer. That's what it's come to.
Nice. And so you saw Frozen and Ninja Turtles. Anything else that we should mention before we move on to the next part?
Other than being forced at gunpoint to sit through Amores Perros, no.
Wait. What?
I made him watch Amores Perros by Iñárritu.
You guys say it different. Well, Iñárritu's got like, that amazing looking Birdman movie coming out.
Birdman, well, yeah.
But Birdman. All of his movies prior to Birdman, let's be honest, they're fucking heavy and.
We're Bergman more than Birdman.
What?
They're a little more Bergman than Birdman.
Yes,
I would say.
Yes. Frog insurance?
Yeah, that is the best Iñárritu Bergman joke of all time. You fucking
Bernard
nailed it, buddy.
That's amazing.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
Birdman than Birdman.
Wow.
A joke for four people, and here ends the podcast. No,
but now he's finally with Birdman. He's made a comedy, so that's going to be
Babel?
Interesting.
No, I mean, I watched
it.
It's fucking, I loved it.
It's brutal, that
movie. So brutal. It's so brutal.
I watched Without Warning, which she wouldn't sit through. Without Warning, it's a 1980 slasher film with Martin Landau and Jack Palance. About, I guess that you could describe
the
alien
he watches are unwatchable.
as like a fried egg that attacks people with an alien. It's man in suit, and the girl tries to blow up the. But David Caruso's in it. He's a great death very early on. If you're David, if you're a fan of NYPD Blue,
right in the beginning, it was not a selling point. And then you said he dies right away.
The fried
and I was like,
egg.
I could see that.
I think Rambo kills David Caruso in First Blood. Or I know David Caruso's in it, but I think he maybe even gets killed by Rambo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. David Caruso was in a bunch of shit before he before the whole CSI thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's CSI, NYPD Blue.
He went NYPD Blue to like seven or eight failed movies and then back to TV.
He was
and who knows what
movie.
He's doing now.
What was his sex movie?
What's
Jade?
Sex movie?
Yeah, Jade.
Yeah. It was directed by Friedkin, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's,
I think we have
not
hit
a lot
wall.
Of Jade.
We
man.
Hit the wall. It's time to move on.
It's the wall of Caruso.
Let the games begin. Gentlemen and lady, choose your name tags from these things that people are holding
I
up.
I have
in
no
the,
idea how
audience.
This game works.
Just go grab a name tag, though, for now. Just so anything that speaks to you, anything that, you know... You think somebody put a lot of work into?
You want this one?
It's not a lot of them.
There you go.
There you go. That was easy.
Right.
While Eli picks a name tag, we'll do this commercial message. We'll be right back. And we're back. Who are you playing for, Kumail?
I'm playing for 50 Shades of Greg, and it's he's so excited. That's why I picked it, because it's literally the shittiest name tag in here. If you see, he took a sheet of printer paper, folded it after he wrote on it in terrible handwriting. He looked so proud. It was like when Michelangelo finished his David. He was not happier than Greg was about 50 Shades of Greg. I mean, look at it.
All right.
But he looks
Lorenzo,
so
who's,
excited.
Tell us about your name tag, Lorenzo. And there might be a shithead written on the back, so don't read that out loud. Don't say
okay.
that.
Okay. Well, Xander Men. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Xander Men, Doug's a Future Past. It's got a really cute drawing of a you with a heart and a camera.
Yeah, that's the logo of the show. I'm glad you think it's really cute.
It's really cute. Oh, and like I really see a stroke of like a really good stroke.
Let's face it.
Shade.
These were the three best name tags in a group of about 10 shitty name tags. I don't know what's going on, Los
Angeles. No, but there was a lot of effort in putting it out there. So.
I mean, at least your guy didn't like fold it. My guy,
he's folded up and put it in his pocket.
Yeah,
he had to wait in line outside.
No, mine is way better than yours.
Yeah, he put it in his wallet. Look how much he folded
there
it.
There is a theme with the blue and red today, though.
Taylor.
Yeah, hold that up for me over here.
A City of Los Angeles parking ticket.
Yeah.
So I wonder when it gets actually mailed into the City of Los Angeles, it will say shithead.
Oh, don't read the back.
Don't read the back.
I'm not reading the shithead part, but it actually has
he wrote it on the
shithead
back
with an arrow on the address part. So some he's going to get another ticket for this. So. Tickets
That's
for
probably
language.
Probably what's going to happen. To determine who goes first today in the Leonard Maltin game, we're going to do some lines with Mark.
How you guys doing? You want to do some lines?
He's pre-recorded today because he was busy not going to his brother's wedding this weekend. He blew that off and couldn't be here. But he's
Donnie's gonna
say,
getting married?
Huh?
Donnie
got married to Jenny over the weekend, and Mark did not attend.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He sent a video, best wishes.
Wow.
Yeah, because, you know, it's Saturday. He's got stuff to do.
Saturday. He's got to run Wahlburgers. That's the thing I can't believe we actually have in our lives. That's a real thing that's happening, by the way. This is the only universe out of all the parallel universes where Wahlburgers is real. Wahlburgers. They have a burger store.
No, it's amazing.
Have you been there?
No, but have you seen the show?
No. It's a show about a burger place.
It's awesome.
It's good?
It's like the three brothers, and one of them isn't like that cute, and he's like managing the whole thing, and his two older brothers sort of take care of him.
Yeah.
But he gets really mad that, you know, it's not working out for him as well.
I like that.
I don't know.
On the billboard,
really,
they're all
like
wearing
it.
A shirt that says, "I'm mommy's favorite." We all know it's Mark, right?
Oh, the mom...
There is no way anybody other than Mark Wahlberg is mommy's favorite.
I know, it's really sad. It's
all right,
really
first person to guess the name of this movie, Mark Wahlberg's going to say a line from a classic motion picture, and you guys just yell it out as soon as you know it. And then you'll be the winner if you get it right.
All right, guys, you ready? Here we go.
Okay.
Let's do some lines.
Okay.
Here, I cannot self-terminate. You must lower me into the steel.
Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
That's correct. That is correct.
Some of them are pretty easy.
I was just like, I said, just do a line from Inglourious Basterds. That'll be funny. And he said he did that the last time you were here.
Yeah.
So there's my memory for you. But that means Kumail gets to go first. And then we'll go to Eli. So Lorenza has a little bit of a beat there to try to figure out what's happening and play along. But, you know, you got a good plug-in for sex ed. November 7th.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are going to check it out, right? Haley Joel Osment making out with her? Seriously.
I got to say, the last time I shushed people at a movie theater was Cabin Fever. And it was two old ladies were in there who'd come into the wrong movie or something. And they were talking the whole time. And I was like, hey, shut up. And I felt so bad that I haven't shushed anybody in a movie theater since.
But did they run out screaming? How were they during the leg shaving and the fingering scene?
I was sitting behind them, but in retrospect, I really should have walked up and just like looked like, huh? Yeah? You like the fingering?
You should have just gone over and put your hand on her knee, gingerly.
That wouldn't have worked out very well, I don't think.
Serena Vincent, that's her name?
Yes,
I think of her once a week, fondly.
I will tweet her as much.
Don't tell her.
Yeah, don't tell her. She probably doesn't listen to this. She'll never know.
Yeah, she'll never know.
What's your relationship like with Ryder Strong? Are you still buddies with that guy?
Yeah, I see Ryder every now and then. I love Ryder. He's a married man. You know, I make a couple Boy Meets World references and jokes. And he was great.
Off to the races. Well,
they're actually doing in Portland a reboot of Cabin Fever. So I've been talking to all those guys. Someone decided, can we just reshoot the movie with your exact script, which I wrote when I was 22?
Is it like an Indiana Jones kind of thing where it's the kids doing it?
It's not kids that are reshooting it on video, although I have that VHS tape. The kids reshot Raiders shot for shot.
Yeah.
They're actually just reshooting the movie, basically, completely rebooting it.
Who was the guy, like someone, Gus Van Zandt?
Sort of a Gus Van Zandt.
Yeah. I like that it was
shot for shot remake.
Plus one masturbation scene.
Plus the masturbation scene. I said they could only do it if they added a masturbation scene, which they're
doing. Well, you already have.
No, the director's very excited about it, and he's got a lot of good ideas. So, yeah, I do talk to Ryder.
Yeah, the good idea is making your movie. He just took all your ideas, right?
Well, I mean, yeah, but they're good ideas, so let's see what he does with them.
I'd see that. It's an interesting idea. Like,
I think it is restaging a play.
They change all the wrong things when they remake stuff, generally.
Right. You know? I mean,
they make Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles about April O'Neil.
Yeah, that was a huge misstep.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
All right, let's play the game. But, I was going to say I've been in touch with Ryder about possibly being on the show sometime, and I would have.
Is that his real name? What does his mother call him?
Is the Ryder. His name is Ryder.
And his
Ryder
last name
Strong.
Is Strong?
And yeah, and On the Storm is his Twitter name, all that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Ryder
even,
Strong.
It's even, there's even a Ryder in all of his contracts that say you have to call him that.
his girlfriend's been with him forever. She's a Ryder, too. Trying to continue the Ryder pun theme. Didn't work.
Oh. I thought it was a strong pun. Thanks, everybody. That was his.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Kumail.
Yes, sir.
You get to pick a category. Would you like at DanC1110? That's a catchy Twitter handle. He suggested Indigo Girls, and that's movies that have blue women in them. Women that are blue colored. Movies with that.
I wanted that.
At Max P. Wilson suggested Superbad, and that's superhero movies that Leonard gave 2 stars or less. So bad superhero movies,
okay,
according to Leonard. And then celebrating a birthday today is Keanu Reeves. So this
who we just worked with in Knock Knock.
Yeah?
Like
yeah,
literally
we directed him
2 months ago.
He's the best.
Holy shit. That's your next thing?
That's my next movie. We shot it. It was starring Lorenza and Keanu. It's
when
a thriller.
When I was like, hey, come down to the show, bring some awesome people with you. You could have been like, Keanu, let's
hey.
Do this.
I we didn't think of that.
I wanted you here, of course.
He's the best.
But that's awesome. He is there a nicer guy in the world?
No, there's not. And he's incredibly funny. And we just asked him about Bill and Ted's all the time. And he had the greatest stories in The Matrix. And, you know, he was one of the most fun, cool, easygoing dudes I've ever worked with. We love him.
All right. Well, the films of Keanu Reeves is your third option there, Camille.
No, not Keanu.
You're not going to fall into that trap.
I've heard he's an asshole.
And Lorenza really liked the blue women category, so...
Yeah, fuck Lorenza, too. I'm sorry. Let's go. I'm sorry. We just met.
Why? I really I like you and your show.
I'm very nice. You're very nice. We're all great. I knew
tonight would prove that you're the one that starts the shit with the other guests on these shows.
No.
Because these two were just sitting
No, they're
here,
wonderful.
You still started
I thought
shit.
It would be funny make fun of Keanu because he seems like such a mensch. And then she's so nice. And I was like, oh, that's the next step in the joke. And it wasn't. It wasn't the next step.
It didn't work.
Everybody like you're too likable. Yeah. Keanu's not here. Fuck that guy. But you're here. And clearly I'm the asshole. All right. As an apology.
Oh, here we go.
I will choose Superbad. No, I'm joking. Let's do the blue ladies.
All right. This movie's got blue ladies.
I can think of three.
Okay. Well, which one was from 2009 and Leonard gave it 3 stars? And he says about this movie that it goes on for too long and that some people are allergic to it. And it was an Oscar winner for it won three Oscars, I think. Three Oscars. And Leonard lists 10 names. So now you have to tell me how many names it would take you, Kumail Nanjiani, to discern the title of this movie. Reading those 10 names from the bottom up, of course.
Is this super easy, or am
I?
Am I missing something?
But so then, if you think you know it, you could bid 0 names. You could go. You can get into negative names if you want. If you said -1, you'd have to name the movie and the top billed person in the movie.
Is okay.
You've played this game before, right?
I have a question.
Yeah,
please.
What is negative? Like
then you.
I
have,
know it's. You, it's insane.
Then you have to name the movie and the first person. All right, I'll go 0 names.
0 names, he says. All right. So, Eli, if you think you know it, you can go -1 and name the movie and the top billed person. Or you could just hope that Kumail's got it wrong and ask him to name it.
Well, I'm trying to... I want to go -1.
Okay.
I think I can do it. I think it was...
Can you go -2?
Oh, no.
Don't say it. Yeah.
Can you go
Don't say it out
two?
Loud because then we have
negative
to go two. To Lorenza.
I think you should.
Lorenza.
That would mean that you'd have to name the movie and the top 2 stars of the movie.
No.
If it's the
Don't make her do it, Kumail. So then you just have to say to your dear sweet Eli, name that movie and hope that he gets
name
it wrong.
Name that movie.
Avatar. Right.
Yeah, and who's the top bill?
Sam Worthington.
That's correct.
Yeah. It's the I can't believe it's the easiest blue movie.
They're what? All blue. Zoe Saldana's super blue.
If I did three,
there's
like
there's a blue Smurf girl,
and then
Smurfs
there's Willy
two.
Wonka,
and
there's,
then
there's X-Men.
Jennifer Lawrence, blue.
Oh, the blueberry
Rebecca
and Willy Wonka.
Rebecca Romaine,
yeah.
Blueberry, yeah.
What are the top three? Is it Worthington, Saldana, and Weaver?
Aren't there? Is anybody blue in Guardians of the Galaxy?
Dave, yeah,
but he's a dude though.
Yeah.
Is that movie
supposed
good?
To be ladies.
Yeah, it's
oh,
awesome.
It's so good.
It's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, it's the hit.
It's so good.
The hit of the summer.
Avatar.
Can't believe
Who
you missed
known?
Avatar.
Yeah.
God,
I yeah. think we all knew.
It becomes well, it becomes a negative names game then. Yeah,
thought you were geeks.
But what were the top three? Are those the three? Is it Weaver, Saldana, and
Weaver.
Worthington.
And Weaver. Worthington, are those the three?
You lost. Just let it go, man. Starts, let it go. Let it go.
It starts Sam Worthington, and then Zoe Saldana,
and then Sigourney Weaver. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the cover of Celebrity Sleuth when Alien 3 came out? What the headline was?
No.
Horny Sigourney Weaver's Naked Alien Beaver. That's a home run.
I can't believe I didn't remember that.
That is a fact. I am not making that up. That you can Google that.
You would be a sociopath if you were making that up. If you were like, I gotta get this phrase out there.
I wish I was Celebrity Sleuth.
I'll lie to these nice people.
No, I wouldn't deceive them.
All right, Eli has 1 point, and Kumail gets to start us off again.
All right.
But this time we'll go to you next, Lorenza, so be ready. Kumail, would you like, @where_is_Q suggested Port Blandia. I was just in Portland, that's why this came up. But Port Blandia is movies that take place in Portland that Leonard gave 2 stars or less.
Okay.
And then your next option is the classic category wins in Scrabble, and that's movies that start with the letter Q. And then we've got... Yeah, right. Horace Inkling suggested Batman versus Bateman, and that's movies that have Jason Bateman and Ben Affleck or both.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, indeed. Which one of those would you like to play?
I like, what was the first one again?
Portland movies that Portland? Are terrible.
No. I'll do the Q.
Starts with Q.
Yeah.
All right. This movie that starts with the letter Q came out in 1986. 1.5 stars from Leonard. He says this movie takes place in a big city.
Thanks, Leonard.
But that it was confusingly shot in 3 different cities.
Oh.
Uh-huh. And one white collar... Oh, it's the lives of some people. Okay, forget it.
All right, Port Blandia.
Starts with Q. So those are your clues. Big
what
city.
Was the third clue?
Confusingly shot. It's the shortest review, and I think I'll just read the whole review.
Yeah.
All right. The lives of big city bicycle messengers, confusingly shot in 3 different cities, and one white collar dropout in particular.
So obvious. Way more obvious.
Low
than the other
gear
one.
All the way. Kumail, how many names?
How many names are there?
That's a good point.
Eight. I'll say 8.
Okay. He says 8 names, Lorenza. So. You think you know the name of the movie. Look at these two cheating with each other.
Did he just
They're cheating with each other,
name?
not against each other.
It's taking a very long time to cheat.
Yeah, it's really...
You guys are terrible
not subtle at
cheating.
All. The teacher would have to turn and look away for a long time for you guys to get away with that shit. What do you think, Lorenza?
I don't know what he said.
She didn't even understand any of it. Got to speak
her
language.
My ears are really red. I get very nervous when I do bad things.
You're not doing anything bad.
What?
Yeah.
What? Wait, what?
My
what?
Ears are bad. I get very nervous when I do bad things.
I don't. We're learning.
Those were a couple unconnected thoughts, lady.
I said I got nervous when I'm cheating. Okay.
All right. Sorry. So, do you think you know the name of the movie? Lorenza?
I'll give you a hint. It's whatever word he whispered into your ear.
If you think you know it, say 0. Or you should say, or you could say
Is
7 names.
Two?
Or you could go -2 if you
did
want.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah, I think I did.
She thinks she did.
Well, then it was 1 name and the title.
Yeah.
So you'd say -1.
Yeah.
Okay, -1.
I'm feeling so miserable right now.
Say -1. I bet you he's setting you up anyway.
Oh. Well, can't I just throw it to someone?
No, just say -1.
Is it?
Or say name it Kumail, but then he's going to get all 8 names.
Quicksilver? Kevin Bacon?
You have to bid -1.
You got to say -1.
-1.
All right, and then say what you just said again.
Quicksilver. Kevin Bacon.
That's correct.
Wow.
How'd you know that it was Quicksilver?
How did you know? How did you know Quicksilver? What happens in that movie?
Well, you know, there's like a surf brand that's really cool. They have really good surf trunks.
Did you see that movie at the Chestnut Hill Cinema 2 in 1986?
I mean, I was born in 1989, but...
All right, we got to start with... this keeps happening. I don't know why, but we're gonna start with Kumail again, and then go to Eli.
Because I'm the only one with fucking integrity on this.
You're controlling the board, and yet you can't control the board.
I won't cheat.
Yeah, you can't control the game. They're cheating.
No more cheating. I wasn't cheating. Assisting. Coaching. It was coaching. It's your first time.
It's a two-way tie between Eli and Lorenzo.
Yeah, between not me. Yeah. Got it. Got it, buddy.
But you get to pick a category.
I know how numbers work.
A three-way tie, and we've got to wrap this up in 12 minutes or less. And as it is, we're going long. Apologies to put your hands together. You get to pick between You Say Ferrara, I Say Ferrara, and that's the films of America Ferrara and Jerry Ferrara.
Jerry Ferrara is Turtle, right?
Yes. Would you like to know who America Ferrera is?
Ugly Betty. Yes. Ugly Betty versus
They're
Turtle.
Both iconic TV characters who have been in a couple of films each.
I haven't seen any of them.
Oh, right. Well,
the jeans one, the pants, the traveling pants.
Penny Dreadful is the films of Penny Marshall Leonard Maltin gave 2 stars or
Go
less.
Go ahead and say that again. I was too
Penny
busy.
Dreadful is the films of Penny Marshall that Leonard gave two stars or less.
Uh-huh.
And Into the Wild is films where Halle Berry has sex.
I will go with...
Into the Storm. Why did I say wild?
Yeah, that doesn't
make
sense.
Into the Wild is movies where Sean Penn does not have sex.
Yeah. Into the Storm.
That's the name of the title.
Great name. Into the Storm. Let's go into the storm.
It's a lot funnier when I don't fuck it up.
Let's go into the storm, buddy.
You like that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Halle Berry had sex in this movie from 2002. The Leonard Maltin gives 3 stars. He calls it entertaining. He says that it goes on for... Oh, he says... it goes for 1 segment too long. So that's interesting. Usually it just says it's too long. But this is just 1 segment too long. And then he says, but it's still fun to watch. And he also says that the person who sings the opening title song also appears in the film Unbilled. And he lists 9 names. How many names can you get it in, Kumail?
I'll go with 8. 8 names.
Strong opening bid. We go to Eli.
Does that mean he needs 8 names to get it?
He's going to take 8 names, yeah. I'm going to read off 8 names. So you can go less.
I could get it in 2 names.
Oh, wow. That's really a daring bid.
That is a daring bid.
What do you think, Lorenzo? Can you go less than 2 names?
I'm in the storm right now.
Are you sure you're not in a green inferno?
I get confused sometimes.
Someday.
It was a green inferno in the little room back there before we came out here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, do you think a lot of stoners will go to green inferno thinking it's not Eli Roth horror extravaganza?
I hope so, because there's actually a huge plot point about stonerism in the movie that I think you will greatly enjoy.
Oh, good. I hope it's because the stoner saves the day.
At a certain point, it turns into a Cheech and Chong movie.
I like the stoner guy in Cabin in the Woods ends up being like the hero.
That was great.
I like that a lot.
I like that a lot, too.
Lorenzo, what do you think? You have any idea what this movie is?
Nope.
Okay, so just tell Eli to name it, and then I'll give him his 2 names, and there's a very
Eli.
Strong chance you're going to walk away with the win.
Eli, say the name.
All right.
I'm guessing it's...
Can I give you the 2 names first?
Yeah.
Samantha Bond and Michael Madsen from 2002.
Oh, I was...
Entertaining. Halle Berry has sex. 3 stars.
I was going to say Swordfish.
Goes on 1 segment too long.
Ooh.
Still fun to watch.
Buddy, it
she
is
just
not
shows
Swordfish.
Her boobs and
it's not Swordfish.
Swordfish. I don't think she has sex with anybody, does she?
I Swordfish is why would she show her boobs if she wasn't having sex?
Because she's sitting outside.
She's reading
them.
A book on her boobs are reading a book.
I didn't think it was
happens.
That one because she didn't
oh,
have
I
sex.
Thought she was holding one of those tanning things under
oh,
her
Oh, yeah,
boobs.
That's what it is. I just looked at the boobs. I thought, I never even looked below the nipples, I guess.
So you
I
was just like, guessed a book? I that's what like, you thought she would be doing in her boob
I thought her boobs
time.
Were like reading a book. Like, are you done, boobs? And then she turns the page.
and then the boobs are reading a book.
Yeah, it's like probably written in Braille. She
yeah, she's feeling
rubs
aware.
Her boobs along.
rubs her.
Any idea,
along.
Eli?
Well, you said he said swordfish.
Oh, but
no,
you
remember.
Said you were going to say swordfish.
I was going to say swordfish.
You knew it's not swordfish when Michael Madsen gets named. But does that help you to
No,
tell
I
you
thought
what
it
is?
Was I thought it was swordfish, but with Michael Madsen I'm clueless. So the only other sex one I could think of was Monster's Ball.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's not a fun movie to watch.
No, it's Leonard not a fun said, sex scene. Like you can't like all the sex scenes here, I'm going to take it out.
Cuz Leonard said it's a fun movie to watch, right?
But isn't you never what know what Leonard Maltin's into.
Very entertaining.
Yeah, it's I'm actually quite pleased to say this because people come on the show all the time and they say, I don't know anything about movies. How could I possibly win? And I say, because if you do it right, you could win anyway, even if you don't know the answers.
And
or if someone whispers the answers in your ear. Lorenzo Izzo is our winner, you guys. Yeah. The film is the James Bond with Pierce Brosnan called Die Another Day. Yes, with Halle Berry has sex with
That's
James
2002?
Bond.
That's 2002?
Huh?
That's 2002?
I think so. What did I say?
Yeah 2002.
When I get questioned on this show, I usually am wrong, so that scared me. But, yeah, you're a winner.
Definitely the most worthy winner.
Can you come back next week?
Yeah.
I would love it if you came back week after week.
But with a different cheater.
But, yeah, next week I think somebody else from Sex Ed might be here, so that's actually a cool tie-in. Anything to plug, Kumail? I mean, lots of things to plug, obviously.
Well, I'll say The Meltdown, Wednesday nights, 12:30 a.m., technically Thursday. X-Files Files is my podcast where I'm rewatching every episode of The X-Files and talking about it, The Indoor Kids. And, oh, Silicon Valley is now on iTunes, the HBO show. Very funny show. Watch that. Buy it on iTunes.
You have a lot going on.
It's mostly podcasts.
Oh.
Hey, where's 50 Shades of Grey? We need a shithead from you, dude. Yeah, just write one
oh,
down.
Oh, the Indoor Kids is a video game podcast I do for the Nerdist. With
yeah.
My wife.
Can I plug
I'm
something?
I'm glad we didn't
Anything
move
else?
On.
Are we going to plug his podcast?
He's got a lot of stuff.
I want to plug his podcast.
I think he still left some stuff out.
Yeah, wait, think about anything else you want to say.
I just saw you in a movie. What did I just see you in? You had like a scene or two. Oh, no, I saw you on Drunk History. That was very funny where you played an Indian.
Yep. I played...
Chief, an Indian chief type.
I think the joke of a Pakistani guy playing the wrong Indian is so many levels to get to the joke that most people didn't even get it.
What do you have to plug, Lorenzo, besides Sex Ed on November 7th? Anything
Green
else?
Inferno.
And Green Inferno someday?
Yeah, Green Inferno someday.
And go back Sex and check Ed. Out Aftershock. I haven't seen Aftershock. I have to watch it now.
Yeah, well, let me talk.
Go ahead. We're
sorry.
The clock.
Yeah, go into Netflix and watch my romantic comedies in Spanish. Give Fuck My Life, Fuck My Wedding, Fuck My Family. And yeah.
Wait, are those the names of the movies?
Yeah. It's a trilogy.
What's it called in English?
It's like blue, red, and white.
That was in English.
No, I mean, what is it in Spanish?
Oh, in Spanish. They're called Qué Pena Tu Vida, Qué Pena Tu Bola, y Qué Pena Mi Familia.
Okay. Yeah, that's not as exciting as fuck my fuck what?
Fuck my family.
Fuck my life. Fuck my
fuck
wedding.
Fuck my life.
And then fuck my wedding.
Fuck my wedding.
Fuck my family.
Fuck my fat wedding.
my fuck fat.
I'm gonna go watch those. Have you seen all of those, Eli?
I have. I'm in Qué Pena 3, Qué Pena Tu Familia.
Eli has a part.
There's a Latin soap called Ataque al Corazón, Heart Attack, and I play the doctor.
Wow.
In it. It's great.
He plays a horny doctor.
My friend Nicholas, who directed
everyone.
Aftershock, who I wrote Green Inferno with, and Knock Knock with, he directed. Very funny.
And Knock Knock's the next thing we
Knock
should be
Knock
looking
next
for.
Thing. Yeah, and today we just got the news. It just came out that Hemlock Grove has been renewed for season 3 on Netflix.
Oh, yeah,
so
there you go.
Excited
That's
about
on,
that. And they're doing it as the final. They're like, let's do it as the last season. So it's weird. We got renewed and canceled in the same day, which is interesting. But the cool thing is now we can really kill as many people as we want with no repercussions. And then hopefully everyone is trying to kind of working out the Green Inferno situation. So hopefully within the next week or so, we'll have some kind of resolution on when that's coming out.
Yeah, let me know, and we'll talk it up. And it's funny, I even had written down, when I thought Neil was going to be here, I thought there was going to be 4 people. I was going to have Eli and Lorenzo play as a team. That was my...
Well, they did.
They did anyway. Yep. And they kicked your ass. But you took it well, and I will be on Thursday, September 11th. I'm going to stand up at the Zanies in Chicago. DougLovesMovies.com for all of my dates and deets. We're 2 minutes under or 15 minutes over. You won, so where's the person with that name tag? You get all this stuff. You get these posters.
Oh, and there's a baby in that bag, too.
Enjoy your Peruvian baby.
Good luck, buddy.
That should be a shithead tonight.
It actually comes in the mail.
People who give away babies. thanks once again to Camille Nanjiani, Lorenzo Izzo, who's going to be here next week, and Eli Roth. As always, the dude who leaked all those nude photos is a shithead. And the mid-season finale of Mad Men. I'm still mad about it.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him fine.